Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you that in the midst of all that goes on in this very dark world, we can gather here and hear the lyrics, hear the melodies, hear the words of the scriptures, and know that you call us into a place of genuine peace and joy. Open our hearts, O Lord, to that very peace, to that very joy, the things that you give us, the gifts that come from your Son, that we also might know that same peace and joy. Speak to us, Lord. Your servants are listening, for it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I have to tell you that as Ben Lane was doing his little interlude on the organ, as I was making my way, a part of me wanted to actually just do a little jig down the steps. There's this kind of lyric sparkle to it all. And I hope you're getting that. Because quite honestly, I don't know about you, I need it. It has been for me a dark, dark Advent. You can name the geography in terms of the things that are going on outside of us. Ferguson, New York City, Brooklyn, ISIS beheadings, the continuing threat of terrorists, international persecution of Christians, and a very out-of-touch culture that continues to demand that we be distracted by the glamorous, the gossip-worthy, and all who occupy, at least for this moment, their 15 minutes of fame, center stage for this week, this news cycle. And in the midst of that, both the horror of what's going on and the kind of entertainment-oriented distraction, both of those things, in fact, almost like act like a kind of vice to keep our eyes in a direction that is entirely away from the manger in Bethlehem. Its meaning, its import, and in fact, its call to us. We are too easily dazzled, too easily cynical, and in fact, given all that's happened, have developed a kind of thicker skin to human pain and suffering, quite just so we can get by. I mean, I don't know whether that's true for you, but gosh, it's sure true for me. I'm not the same as who I was this time last year, and I'm not exactly sure it's all for the better. I want to be dazzled because life's hard. And therefore, to actually begin to look for something more hidden, but far more precious, is counter, not just countercultural, but it's counter to my own habits. You see, it would be different if Time magazine had named Mary and Joseph People of the Year. But you know as well as I do, that's never going to happen. Those aren't the kind of people they're interested in. And therefore, that's not the kind of people our culture are interested in. And tragically enough, that's, as a result, the kind of people we're not interested in. We, quite honestly, don't care. Except, and this is what's important, we know enough to know, and maybe that's why we're here tonight. We know enough to know that both the horror and the dazzle don't hit the geography of the human heart. And that while we're continually distracted, entertained, shocked but only momentarily, there are things inside of us that are in fact never satisfied by any of those kinds of events. I really saw it not long ago, and in fact, something that I picked up on my Twitter feed from The Spectator, a British magazine, and it was their sort of Christmas picture for the year. And the background was a blown-out city. It could have been Kabul, it could have been Mosul under ISIS. You name the place where there have been shelling and bombings, and that's what this looked at. It was just a whole series of blown-up and burned-out buildings. And there, right in the center of the street, superimposed on those burned-out building tableau, was Mary Joseph, the baby in a manger. He was a disturbing image, I have to tell you. But it was poignant. It was actually appropriate because I feel like in many ways that picture is what we're being called to do. Not to ignore the backdrop of all that we are going through, both as a country and as a world, but instead to see in the midst of it something that God is doing. See, that's what it means, it seems to me, in this day, Christmas 2014, to hear the Isaiah reading, the people that have walked in darkness have seen a great light. If there was ever a time when we need to see that great light in the midst of this darkness, it is right now. And Isaiah trumpets it as incredibly good news. In other words, here we have a people who are under foreign occupation. They're in exile. Life could not be more bitter. And yet, in the midst of all of that, a clarion call is going out through the prophet Isaiah to say, it will not always be this way. And in fact, it's not just a kind of future at hope, but God is in fact at work right now, pulling things together to make everything new. I want you to know, if I didn't believe that, I couldn't be up here tonight. I mean, if I didn't believe in the soles of my feet that God was actively at work in this world, and not just at work in this world, but in my life, where there, quite honestly, is probably just as much darkness as you see in the world, that God is at work in the geography of my heart and in the geography of human events. Because just as God made those promises that take us all the way back to the book of Genesis, that a Messiah would come. Do you remember the line between Adam and Eve where God says in the midst of that destruction that one is coming who will crush the head of the serpent? At the very beginnings of human history, God had determined that in the fullness of time, to quote the scripture, he would send his only son. And that in fact happened. That's what we're here to do tonight, is in part to commemorate an historic event that took place in space and time. The introduction to the gospel reading that Carolyn read for us this evening is so clear. A regime is named. Governors are listed by name. Luke is very careful to say, what I'm not doing is telling you the story of Zeus on Mount Apollo. What I'm trying to talk to you is about something that actually happened in history that in fact changed the course of human history. It's an oft-quoted quote in Christmas sermons, but I believe it with all of my heart, and that is, the hinge of human history swings on that stable door. So you and I would cause darkness to win if we chose to just blasely coast through this service and not face the fact that God acted in history and that he is, in fact, acting right now in the geography of your heart. That you are not immune, nor are you left out. That's why I prayed the prayer that I did, the collect, that we who'd been born again by adoption and grace would be what? Daily renewed by the Holy Spirit. Because what we need in this hour is for the Holy Spirit to take those truths, to break them into our souls, so that we right now understand that the Prince of Peace has come, that we are invited to live underneath his reign, and that we can do so in a way that actually makes a difference in human history. And that you and I in this time, even in the midst of the bleakness of this burned out world, can right now know the kind of victory, the kind of joy, the kind of sweet presence that the angels sang about. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You see, it is quite possible to look at Christmas, but not look into Christmas. in a way that allows a connection to happen between the events and your heart. That's why the exhortation in the opening hymn, it's a choice, you see. Oh, come, let us adore Him. You can sing about it and think about what you're going to do after the service. I'm not sure that's what you call worship. This is huge. So will you? Do you know enough of the darkness that exists in your own heart as well as in the world to call upon this Prince of Peace Savior to reign in you in a new way? Are you willing in the midst of a decaying culture to be men and women who are willing to serve for the renewal of God's earth? Are you willing to be people who are of peace, not just those who believe in peace, and therefore who speak peace and live it in a way that builds up other peoples and serves them, who prays for them? You see, no one, I'm quoting Leo the Great here, no one is shut out of this joy. All can share the same reason for rejoicing. Our Lord, victor over sin and death, finding no man free from sin, came to free us all. Let the saints rejoice. Let the sinners be glad. Let the pagan take courage as he is summoned to life. For in the fullness of time, chosen in the unfathomable depths of God's wisdom, the Son of God took for himself our humanity in order to reconcile us to his Creator. That's what's at stake here. I want you to know I want to be a part of that. I don't want to be one of those people who continues to sit in front of his phone hoping to get distracted by something else so I don't have to see what's in here. I don't want to be one of those people who kind of shake my head if I'm at least that awake in the midst of the horrors that are going on in the world and act as if somehow that doesn't matter. Or if it does, it sure doesn't matter to me because nobody's blowing up my street yet. We don't need people like that, brothers and sisters. This is our world. God made it, and He gave it to us. What are we going to do? But for us to live like that takes tremendous courage. It takes a level of fortitude. It takes a kind of power that can only be given to us by God Himself. Any other reason for doing it results in the end in kind of humanitarian burnout. But I want you to know that in the midst of this darkness, my heart is turning. It actually began last Sunday here at the Lessons and Carol service Sunday afternoon, where I'd been wrestling with the darkness of Advent for 4 weeks. And as we began to turn the corner and singing the carols of Christmas, something in my heart began to lift. And it was like, yes, this is home base. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Joy to the world, not just to me, but to the world, the Lord has come. That's the Christmas message. Will you be a part of that? Will you let the Savior in your heart, not to help you to feel a little better, but to actually give you a new purpose in life? Are you willing to be one of those people who, in fact, not just say they're Christians and show up occasionally? I mean, that's better than nothing, but is that what you want? That kind of baseline mediocrity when it comes to faith? Leave that for people for whom it doesn't matter. It should matter to you. That we, together, might be men and women who are committed to be people through whom the light of Christ shines. If you want to be dazzled, go ahead. But it's so empty inside. You know, you can only talk about the latest thing in the news or what's happening in entertainment or what the next clothing fashion is or who's up going to win the Grammys this year or the Oscars or guess what? Are they actually really going to release the interview on Christmas Day after all? It's so superficial. Be those who can say with great joy, I was in darkness, but God had mercy, and I have seen a great light. That's Christmas. The door of human history swings on this stable. What will you do? I implore you to say yes. How do you do that? Well, if you're Christian, the way to do it is when you come to the table, right here, at the rail. I have a friend of mine who's gone through a terrible mess in his life, and he's beginning to come back to faith. And he came to the rail, and he said, he was crying as he was receiving the Eucharist, and he said, I just can't believe they give away this eternal banquet for free. It just struck him all over again, the magnificent grace and mercy of God to someone who knew in the depths of his soul that he deserved none of it, but yet was so glad to be received. And if you're not a Christian, if you've not said yes to Christ, if the waters of baptism have never gotten you wet, I would ask you to make a decision this evening to say yes to the Savior, to be one upon whom, by God's mercy, the light shines. It will change everything about your life. It will not make you necessarily a better person at first. In fact, what it will probably do is blow up your world. You didn't expect me to say that, did you? But it will so reorder it that you will never be the same. And you will live with the joy of eternity in your heart that no one can ever take away. So tonight, as we gather at the manger, please don't just look at it. Look into it and come in. That you might be one of those who says, I have seen that great light. I will adore. Thank you for the joy. And you'll dance with me up here around the aisle. Amen. I invite you to stand.